Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken our mind and our hearts, that we may be able to hear it, that we may be able to receive it in our heart, understand it, and apply it to us, Lord, and benefit from it in the things we do, and in being able to, Lord, get the result that you promised. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, last week we talked about producing much fruit. You know, and that is really an important topic for us to realize because the impact that has on us. You know, when we have needs and we have things that want to do for God and so on, we don't get anywhere, then it's not an experience that builds us up. We need to get results. God wants us to get results. But, you know, to get the results that God wants, we have to follow his direction rather than our thinking of what we think we should do. Because often our ideas are not quite correct, and we end up banging against the wall and we don't know why. Instead, you know, when we are doing according to his way, you see, things work out right. And, you know, often we make things far too complicated that we need to. You know, but in John chapter 6, verse 28 says, you know, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the work of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, you know, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. See, that he made it pretty simple. They were trying to make things complicated. Instead, you know, he went really to the key, the element that makes all the difference. Okay? That, you know, we cannot, and that is what Jesus actually showed us. And we have been talking about that quite a bit. You know, the fact that we cannot do many things by ourselves and in ourselves. When we talk about spiritual work, spiritual activities, we need to depend on him. We have the tendency in this world, and that's the training that we get from the world, is that we have to do it ourselves. If we want to get something done, do it yourself and it gets done. Well, that's not the way to get the spiritual things happening for us. We need to understand that anything that we are going to do spiritually is because of our connection with him. It's because of he provided us with the help, the direction, and the empower to do those things. Okay, this is so important to really understand, because when we fall back in doing things on our own, we generally don't succeed very well, and we end up spinning our wheel and getting nowhere. Okay. We can't save ourselves. That's why God had to send the Savior. When we realize that and we start depending on him, well, we do nothing else than what Jesus did when he was down here. See, in myself, I can do nothing, you know, but I only do and see, you know, what I see the Father doing. And when they only, you know, do not my own will, but his will. You see, there is a question of abdicating our rights, our way of doing things, our ideas, and taking his ideas. And this is why it's so critical to go to the Word of God to get that direction that we need and to get the understanding they associated with us. You know, goes back to the Old Testament, in Psalm 93, you know, that says very clearly, in Proverbs, sorry, you know, that I shall, you know, Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, often our ideas are figuring out instead of helping us, they hinder us. Okay, so I want to just summarize some things, okay, that we mentioned before and progress there. You know, first of all, okay, to produce fruit, to have the result that we would like to see in our life, both for ourselves and for others, okay, one of the basic things is that we become Jesus' disciples. That's what Jesus said, okay. If, we do that by being in the Word, okay, and it says, you know, you dwell in the Word, the Word dwells in you, and you shall know the truth, and you shall be made free. It's not effort. And this is the things often we do not understand. You know, we want to work for things, when instead we had to not work, but align up with what the Word says. Assimilate the Word, be influenced by the Word, being changed by the Word, and that change is actually effortless. It's not us doing it. It's not working harder that we do it. It's by believing. We are saved by faith, by believing. We have to understand that, believing not really the things that are pressing us or trying to get those things. See, trying to get things is us receiving the things from God. It's Him. And so we have to understand that that is really, you know, what is Jesus said, that the Spirit, you know, this is the, to do the work of God, to see some spiritual thing happening, to see some result, you know, believe in Him who He sent. So we have to believe in Jesus. It's really that faith, that believing in Him. Faith is not believing for something, it's believing for Him, of Him. What He did is enough. What He did is sufficient. What He did releases for us as we believe, trust in Him. The power that was in Him becomes and start to be in our life, and we overcome whatever is there that we need to overcome. That's important. Okay. He was in communion with the Father, okay, and we had to learn to be in communion with Him. He is the way, the light, and the truth, okay? And that means, you know, the approach that He took, and we talked about that. The approach that He took, the understanding that we get by connecting with Him, by looking at Him, by learning from Him. And finally, you know, the discovery of the truth, those things that we had to align ourselves with, and to that they are going to release the power in us that enables us to get results. It's not our works, but our faith in Him that does it. Okay, that connection is critical, and Jesus used the example of the vine and the branches to see that if we want to get anywhere, if we want to produce fruit, we had to be connected with the vine, with Him. That connection is, we can, you know, spiritual thing is not, you cannot rationalize them. You're going to understand the way forward, but that doesn't need you to understand. You need to experience the way it works. You don't need to understand how the TV works. You need just to push the button and know that by pushing the button, you turn it on and it's going to work. Okay? There are many things, you know, if we end up wasting our time to try to figure out the electronics of it, you know, we probably are not going to, you know, we're going to wait for a long time, and all the stuff is not needed. The problem is our mind tries to, you know, how that is going to work. You know, you don't need to know how it works to digest your food, because you were made that way. Okay? So, and the same thing, you were made to function in a certain way when you connect with God. And when there is that connection, then the flow of life in divine come through you. And if when you separate yourself, when you start to do your own thing, then is the time when it's not going to work. And you are going to work hard to get it and waste your time spinning your wheels, getting nowhere. We had to learn. And it's natural to do that. Because that's the way, what we had to do here on this world. But that is physical things. And they're not spiritual things. Spiritual things, they are the result, you know, produce physical results, you know, but without effort. Praise the Lord. We should rejoice about that instead of being confused by it. Praise the Lord. And the evidence, okay, that we are going to start seeing things, experiencing things that actually otherwise would be not available to us. You know, and the evidence that this is happening and that connection is taking place, that we start considering ourselves the focus of everything. Self-centric, self-focus. What we do. I'm going to do it. Well, it's not you're going to do it. It's a decision you made, but to decision to trust in Him. As you do that, okay, you start experiencing the benefit of that connection. You start abiding in His love, and this way you're going to get results, and as a result of that, the Father is glorified. Father is not glorified for the things we do, he's glorified by the things He does for us. Praise the Lord, but we don't work that way. Okay. Now, this is the first things that we have to understand, okay? But there are many other ways, many other side of this reality that we have to understand. The other one was really in James. Okay, the first one was there in John mostly, but here is, you know, in James chapter 4, in which we have to understand the way God's work, actually God's priorities or values. You see, when we understand our value, we line up, okay, with Him. And when we pray, when we try to connect with Him, we are going to be able to, you know the things that are important or not. They should be important for us. Okay, this is what it talks about, you know, that we ask and not receive is because we ask amiss. Okay, that means when we ask according to the way provided, the way He wants, then we are going to receive. Okay. And we have to understand, okay, that all is based, you know, asking amiss is because we don't ask, you know, it's the motivation before our asking. When we are asking, okay, to spend for our own pleasure, for our own things, that is not going to get us very well. We have to ask according to His value scale, according to His priorities. And when we do that, things fall into place. Things are developed. Okay. Is our motivation, our what we really want deeply inside ourselves that counts. God planned to bless us. God wants to bless us. It blesses Him to bless us. Okay. But we had to connect to Him the right way because He is, you know, He has certain priorities and He wants us to have the priority. See, the idea is to understand that our loves, our what we actually worship, love, worship is the same, what we value is the same thing. That's why priority is the same as value. This is why God judges things. Okay, those things should be not worldly way, shouldn't be materialistic, shouldn't be, you know, fleshy. It should be spiritual. It should be the same that He has. And then He takes care of all the other. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's not there. He's not stingy. He's not difficult. No, absolutely not. But he wants you to have the right direction because, when you get the things, instead of becoming controlling you, you are closer to him because you appreciate what he has done for you. So you can grow in him even through the things that he gives you. That's his desire. He wants you. This is really, friendship with the world is enmy with God. And that shows, the fact, why God is a jealous God. God wants you to connect with him and to, not love other things or care or value other things more than you care connecting with him. When that is taking place, everything else falls into place too. It may not happen immediately, but, it happens, in his time, according to the direction, according to the direction he's going to give you to achieve there, to get those results. He is going to direct you. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to you, so that you can have the information you need to get the result you need in your life. And he is always communicating with you to direct you. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Praise the Lord. You see, this is why he doesn't want us to be idolaters. That's why it means, really. And the way this is just very simple, okay? When we want to do our own ways because of pride, because, we are self-centered, and we have to overcome that. Instead, what we have to do is submit to God, okay? That means, do what connecting with him, accepting the situation and progressing for that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't need to be there fighting anything. You just have to trust him and he's going to guide you and he's going to show you what to do. Okay? But you have to, the things that you have to do is you have to draw closer to God. Don't draw closer to your problem. That's what the natural things to do. You want to fix your problem. No. That's the way to actually focus on those things, focus on your problem. What you focus on, you give power. You had to remove the power from those things and actually connect with God so that the power of God is going to flow through you to deal with the other things. He takes over by the Holy Spirit being in you. That's why, there was critical change that took place from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They did not have the Holy Spirit that you as a believer have today. He's inside there to guide you into all truth. And when you get the truth, what happens? You are made free. So the problem is going to be resolved. And it's going to be no longer a problem because he's guiding you into victory. Hallelujah. So what you do, is you have to go draw closer to God. Grow, and if you draw closer to God, God always responds. If you go closer to God, God draws closer to you. And that makes all the difference for the thing you're trying to achieve. Praise the Lord. Okay. And he gives you specific direction for these things. Say, for example, if there is sin in your life, cleanse your hands. That means, get rid of it. And there's a part of the separation, the problem that was there. If you are, your heart is not fixed on him and is being influenced by the other thing, you just make decisions and purify your heart so that there are no this other influence of love in there, loves or values in there that are out of place. Okay. So this is really so important. And Jesus had exactly this perspective about priority as values, okay, for our choices. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, one of the things, even himself explained that, by talking about the way we had to deal with our own life. Okay. It says, following his example, the dependence he had from the Father. Okay, the fact that we need, he said to us, you know, that we had to deny ourselves, okay, and follow our will rather than his will rather than our will. That's what is going to make the difference. Okay, this is, you know, understanding that, understanding that God is in control. You know, I mean, there is lots of teaching that yes, the devil is in control this day. That's completely untrue. That's the appearance that he puts up. He's always in control. It's going to happen, everything that he has planned to happen, including in your life. Okay? What happens depend, and what we experience depend on our decisions. The position you take to be able to receive or not receive, to be able to connect with him or not connect. You see, the story of the, you know, the vine and the branches. If you want to be having the power of God flowing to you, you had to do what? You had to be connected with him. You had to be agreeing with him. You had to, you know, this is not a physical connection, although, you know, that may involve also spending time with him, because otherwise, you know, you are going to be connected to other things. That we had to learn to do that, okay? And, you know, it's interesting this what it says there, okay? Praise the Lord. In, you know, Jesus' perspective is very clearly in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and following, okay? Says there, Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, this is, you know, talking about, this has to be the number one thing, your priority to start with. If you don't have that priority, you know, you're not going to be able to progress in this. Okay, then, you know, says deny yourself. Okay, the word there, deny, you know, is aparneomai, which means to disown, to disregard, to renounce to your own rights or things. And just be open to God. Okay, that's, you know, the self that has to be, you know, renounced to, and we have to understand that that is not, you know, for our, so that we put, he's not trying to put us down, but he's trying to enable us to go beyond our situation and our problems. Okay. We are going to let him, okay, take over in our life. And that produces the results. Okay. And this is what his example actually was for us. And there it says, you know, talking to us, take up your cross and follow me. Well, essentially, he was prophesizing what he was going to do himself and being the example for us to have the victory. He had the greatest victory that ever anybody had in the whole world. He defeated Satan. So that Satan doesn't need to be defeated today because he lost the game already. And so following him, you know, the Capricorn, and follow me, you know, follow his example, choosing according to God's priority instead of your priority. And says on and explain that, you know, more in detail, says for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay, their life is psuche, that actually means, you know, many different things. There's a word that means, has many different meaning and can be translated life, soul, self, inner self, human, individual, whatever. Life, you know, in this case, is talking about our physical experience, our physical life, our outer life. It says here, you know, desire to save his life, meaning the physical even, okay, will lose it, but who loses his life for my own sake, we'll gain it, we'll find it. Okay. Then continues, and he says, using the same word there, and this is important to understand. For, okay, let me see here, just a moment. Yeah. actually, okay, going back here, I didn't read the one the verses. Okay, and the verse 24 said, you know, anyone who desires to come after me, let him deny himself, let take up his cross and follow me. Okay, so that's the first part. The second part is this, whoever desires to save his life, okay, we'll lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So they're talking about the same word is used for life, okay? And afterwards, the verse 26 was again used, but with a completely different translation generally, but it's the same Greek word. It says, for what profit is it that a man is gain his life, is give the whole world, okay, and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange of your soul? Now, the word soul here is the same word in Greek, which is psuchai, that actually, you know, has the other component. So it talks about both our life spiritually and our life physically. And it say, you know, to actually gain our life physically, we need to deal with our life spiritually. We need to allow ourselves, okay, to give up our physical attachment and become instead, you know, developing and growing in our inner dimension, in our spiritual life, in our soul, which is not physical. Okay. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? This is important. This is not a negative. You know, often it's considered a negative thing, something that is hard and difficult. It's not hard and difficult. This is trying to change our perspective from a materialistic, physical approach to our life to a spiritual approach in life in which we value the things that God values. And as a result of that, we establish that communion relationship with Him. As the vine and the branches, the vine and the branches in which we are going to be manifesting the power of God that comes from our spiritual dimension and is going to be manifested in the physical dimension by their choices, by the fact that the power of God is in us to produce the result and fulfill the promises of God in our life. Are you with me yet? See, this is critical for us to understand. God is not trying to take away stuff from us. He's trying to give us everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the spiritual dimension. And all these things shall be added unto you. This is nothing else. See, there are so many, the Bible talks about the same thing in many different, from many different angles, so that we finally get it. Although, you know, we often are so focused on the physical that we miss the important thing because we look after that, and by looking after that, we can get it. Because we don't make the right decision to actually be able to succeed in getting there. God only gives us good things. Praise God. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Praise the Lord. All right. Now, really, this is really the same thing. I mean, just to give you a parallel here, you know, this is really the same thing that Jesus was tempted in the desert when, you know, the devil went to him, and, you know, and the devil took him on a mount, on an exceeding high mountain, you know, and showed to him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. You see, putting him a priority, loving him more than God. You know, and Jesus knew enough and understood enough to give him the right answer. Okay, evidently, you know, and what he said to him was this, that and Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written that you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. And you, and that did the work that needed to be done. The devil left him. See, that's the way to overcome. That's the way to, it's the same thing, you know, you resist the devil, you know, get closer to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The word there, free, is actually run off. It's not just simply, you know, flee, you know, not just, it just can't stand to be in that presence. And so, you know, it's not the work that we do, it's not our power, it's his power that's working in our behalf. That's the way to get fruit. That's the way to get result. That's the way to get breakthrough. That's the way for us to overcome. That's why we needed a Savior. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, okay. John expresses in a different way. See, again, the Bible shows the same thing in many different places from different angles. So that, you know, we can apply in different positions, in different places we are in. You know, so that we get the understanding that otherwise, you know, we may get stuck. God wants us not to be stuck. Go. So, all right. So we see, for example, in John, you know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. He's talking about the walking with him. I mean, being connected. Being able to connect and relate with him so that his power and his life can flow to us and work and produces result. This is really the basis for our communion with him as well. Okay, says there, verse 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sin has neither seen him nor known him. Okay, so that is what it really says. Okay, so that's really the thing they say, you know, when we sin, the manifestation of sin in our life is a showing that we are really not connected with him. As simple as that. Okay. That doesn't mean, okay, that we abide in him does not sin, that, you know, whatever he does is not sin. No, you know, he just doesn't do it. They doesn't make sinful choices. Okay, because naturally he obeys God. He doesn't do it because he's trying really hard. It's just because that's what he wants. That's what he loves. That's what he wants. Okay, naturally. Okay. So if we, you know, essentially is, you know, what we actually practice. Okay. That's what we do naturally, okay? Because we want to please him. Because we, you know, he's working through us. He's actually doing to us. Because we are abiding in him, he rewards us and empowers us to do the right thing and to want the right thing, okay? In the following verses, little children, let us not deceive you. Let no one deceive you. He who practice righteousness is righteous. Praise the Lord. Just as he is righteous. So really he's talking about practicing righteousness. To doing things, you know, in a normal way of life. Okay, that's the way. Actually, I have, you know, really other translation too that shows us in different way. But I'm going to go now, for example, in Romans chapter 6, in which verse 17, there is not John anymore, now it's Paul, and it says the same thing there. It says there, you know, but God be thanked that though you were slave to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You know, the explanation of what, you know, the good news is. Okay. And having been set free from sin, you became slave to righteousness. Praise the Lord. And now, having been set free from sin and having become slave of God, you have your fruit of holiness and the end of everlasting life. So you see, the result of that is the automatic outcome of us having accepted the gospel, basically, and our heart being changed, our desire being changed and modified and being aligned with the priority that God has, so that we now actually are slave or righteous. That means, you know, we want to do righteous things, righteous choices. We don't want any of the other things that we were doing before because we were slave of sin. Okay, that means that we wanted to do the slave wants to do the what the owner tell him to do, because otherwise he's going to get it. Okay, in this case, we know that we want to do it because you know, God is there to minister to us and to bless us, and we really, you know, love him, and we put him and his ideas, his priorities, his values, and accepted them and become our values. But that's the things that are going to be in our heart, so that we naturally, by the things we want, we are going to follow, and we are going to manifest what God wants in our life. Praise the Lord. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay. Now go back to John chapter 3, verse 8, before we're reading verse 7. Okay. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. So sin is nothing else than choosing to do what is sinful, choosing the things that God priority come against that. Okay, so the idea is, you know, all the works of the devil, Jesus came to destroy them. That's a long list of things. You know, moral evil, sin, natural evil, suffering resulting from other things of the other world, you know, discomfort, fight, wars, sickness, whatever. The deception that is in the world, you know, nothing else but spiritual lies and not the truth. He is the father of lies. And finally, even death. And Jesus is the proof that he overcame death. We are not there yet, but it's going to be a day in which we are going to experience even that. Praise God. He came to do that. He came to overcome. And he has proven that he succeeded in that by resurrection. That's why resurrection is a critical part of his victory. Hallelujah. His victory is the things that we put our faith, our trust in him. This is because he was resurrected. We can believe him and we can trust in him and we can expect that that is going to have an impact in our life and follow his way. As he overcame, we will overcome. As he got the victory, we can get the victory. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, says, okay, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh of blood, he himself likewise share in the same, that through death he may destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. So that is him. And release those who through fear of death were in their lifetime subject to bondage. So one of the consequences of that, that the fear of death should be overcome in us, because we know that who believes in him, he shall not die. And so, you know, the death, the way we see it now, is just a transition for the moment that we are going to have, but it's going to be reversed when he comes back the second time, according to what the Bible says. We can trust in him. We are free from the fear, and we can now function not according to the physical world, but we can start functioning the way he did according to the spiritual world, to the spiritual dimension, to the way God thinks, to the way God plans, to the way God established priorities in his own mind, and is going to be affecting us today. Okay. Praise the Lord. That's really make a complete difference in us, and that should be the experience that a born-again believer should have today. A born-again believer does not want to sin. And if he doesn't realize that, he deals with us right away. Doesn't stay in it. Recognizes the priorities and the values that God has and follow those values and priorities because they are his priorities. At least in the area that he understands, and where he doesn't understand, the Holy Spirit is going to work in him to show the truth. And when he knows the truth, the word is going to be through the word, and the revelation of the Holy Spirit is going to actually point out to him the things that need to be changed in his life. Hallelujah. Okay, so, you know, in John 1:3-9 says, you know, whoever was born of God does not sin, for the seed remain in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So the seed is nothing else than the truth in the word that has been planted from the started, the process of being born again. That seed is starting to grow. It's starting to grow with the operation of the Holy Spirit in him. He's going to reveal, guide, and direct, and show things so that he can start actually not just born again and the whole thing is finished. No, born again and we start a new life. And in this new life, you know, the Holy Spirit continues to show the truth to us and guide us into all truth. The old truth means your truth brings freedom, deliver us, and so breaks bondages, so set us free. That's what should be the experience of a born-again believer. Once he started this process, he should be pushing in the victory, the transformation that takes place. You know, that is not just an experience that happened at one time, but it's an ongoing process of growth, of deliverance, of sanctification, of making more and more us separated, holy, separated from the world. Because our ideas, our thoughts, our values are changing according to God's way. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. I mean, that one makes a difference. That will give us the victory. It's not our effort. It's our obedience. It's our listening. It's our heart that is changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then there are going to be other evidences. You know, a different translation of that verse that I just finished reading is William's translation, in which some of the verses are indicated in a more expanded way. It says, no one who is born of God makes a practice of sinning, because the God-given life principle continues to live in him. And so he cannot practice sinning because he's born of God. See, that shows really what is taking place. And, you know, and it is a progression. It's a growth that we experience. And if we don't have that experience as well, we are stuck. And being stuck is not a good place to stop, because you cannot really be stuck for a long time. Either you progress or regress. We had to learn to just keep moving with God, who is wanting to work in us. This is why Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us in this process. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Another way of saying the same thing is in 2 John chapter 3. Chapter 1, verse 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ as both the Father and the Son. You see, here he's talking about, when Jesus was talking, for example, at the when in John chapter 17, at the Last Supper, Jesus was explaining about the communion that he had with the Father. Well, the same thing here is a communion, and now he is with him and with the Father. Okay, and here he's saying the same thing. Okay, that if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, what is that? Okay, is being in him, practically. Is being connected with him. Is being part of divine, connected, but being branches of divine. Okay, it's really, it's, a number of principles are involved here, is having faith in Jesus, what he did. You have repentance of our sins, baptism, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, sanctification process, enduring to the end. That is all the component of being in him. It's all the component of actually connecting with the bride. This is really the doctrine of Christ. Really allowing what Jesus did to function and to produce fruit in our life. Okay? And that being that connection, being part, being branches and so on and so forth that I described before. Okay. Now, continuing, verse 10 says, if anyone comes to him and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. See, the thing there is Lambano, don't take him in, because, he who greets him will share in his evil deeds. You see, the idea is that when there is, when there is wrong doctrine, when there is wrong, all those the things I was mentioning before that is involved in the doctrine of Christ are not considered, are not expressed, are not applied, then there is deception coming place. There is not the truth. Some truth is removed, and that is going to affect your life, and you're going to not be able to make the progress that God wants you to make. And so, he's going to actually, share his evil deeds of that person. We had to be careful. We had to know. We had to continue to walk with him, the same he walked with the Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to maybe kind of close now. I think I covered up enough of the topic, but we can see some things, okay, that here, especially in these days where there is so much confusion around, we need to really be connected to the Word of God, allowing the Word to work in us, to show us the truth, and to follow the truth, and to determine our priorities, our values, and the way we judge things in our life, to make the choices, okay? But the basis of all that, as I explained before, okay, is the fact that we put our trust in him, in what he has done, in what he has achieved. Because as we connect with him, okay, and that happens through believing what the Word says about it, connecting to the Word, learning to receive from the Word. Okay, this is all, nothing else than the decision that involves our faith in him. Faith is believing that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is what, if we believe that he's a rewarder, are going to be motivated. If we think that, God couldn't care less what you do, you're not going to try to please him. But if you know that when, when he's pleased about him, he's going to work for you. He's going to help you. He's going to be behind you. He's going to protect you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You can have peace inside. So, faith is important to understand. It's really that trust that we put in him about the fact that, yes, we can work according to his principle and he is going to reward us. And Jesus is our example in actually manifesting that. He shows us the way. He gave us the understanding. So he is really the mediator there. Hallelujah. We have to, when we understand that, when we can have our assurance, not based on what we do, but on our faith in him. We are not saved by what we do. We are saved by our faith. But doesn't stop there. That's the thing we have to understand. This is why, you know, it's not just a question of believing and that's the end of the story. No. Faith produces fruit. Faith produces result. When you trust God, you start doing what God wants you to do. So start doing means, you know, that actually works are involved too. There is no faith without a change in our behavior, our manifestation. See, our work reflects our faith. What we do shows the change that took place inside us. You know, James says, you know, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Because the works are not, is not to get saved, the works are because you are saved. And as a result of that, okay, you start, you know, what happens is start manifesting that. Start changing things the way they are. Start becoming transformed in your behavior more and more. You don't want to sin, but basically you want to grow in the Lord. You want to manifest more and more of what God wants you to do. And that has great implications. That makes a big difference in your life. Because really, the impact is right now in terms of being able to have the fruit that God has promised. The result, the blessings. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto you. But it doesn't stop there. It's not just the physical and need that you have today, but it's the rewards that you're going to do. This is what Jesus is going to do when he comes back. You know, he is coming and giving us, and we are going to be judged according to what? The word says, according to our works. Because the works are not anymore the things that we try to get approved by God, but this be the word manifestation of our faith operating in us. And with that, for today, we close. Did you get anything today? Okay. See, understanding this, to be able to do what God wants us to do, we need to understand what that is. Otherwise, how can you do it? Okay? But, you know, sometimes we spiritually are a bit dense. We don't quite understand it. We try to do things in a religious way, when instead we had to learn to do things in a relationship way with him. Learning to relate to him, learning to have his value, learning to have the understanding that comes with following him. And when we do that, what happens is that we are going to start moving and growing and changing and manifesting the blessing of God in our life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for the great plan that you have for each one of us. You want to bless us. You want us to have a future and a hope. That means expectation of good things coming. They are coming from you. And we thank you in advance because we know, because we trust, because we believe in what Jesus did and his victory over the devil. We just thank you that we can experience that victory ourselves, because he didn't do it for himself, but he did it for us. Thank you for what you went through, Lord. For us, we receive it. We believe it. We receive it again with our heart and trust you and follow you, and we'll be overcomers because of what you have done and because we have chosen to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.